irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, July 28th.
Good morning.
It's almost August, Jen.
I know. I feel like the summer just flies. Mm-hmm. You know, even as a kid when I had summer vacation, I have to say it goes just as fast now as an adult when I continue
really?
Working through it. Yeah. Man, I remember like feeling so like it's like the last day of school. Like even though I hated school for some reason, I'd always feel a little nostalgic for like the last day of school. And then it's like amazing because you're like, I'm on summer break. And then it just felt like a week went by and July was over and I'd get this pang in my stomach.
Right.
Like, oh no, not another school year is coming, you know.
That's true, yeah.
And then the panic of seeing all the back to school supplies in the stores.
Mm-hmm.
Panic.
Yeah.
Hated it.
Imagine going to school now with COVID and everything.
No.
Know? I mean, there's like big arguments about whether they should make the kids wear masks or not.
I know. A lot of the schools have the little plastic things up.
No. It's become so political, it's unbelievable. I think that's why we're fucking having a hard time with this, you know?
Yeah, everything's political.
Everything.
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 You know, I didn't realize when I was younger how many things actually were political. It's
but they weren't when we were younger, I'm telling you. It's like recent.
Yeah.
It's recent. In LA County, I guess the COVID-19 hospitalizations nearly doubled in 2 weeks.
Wow.
And they're saying that among 18 to 29, it grew ninefold.
Well, I know. I actually saw a map of the country, and it looks like the lower East Coast and like Nevada and a few places out west are really red. But it didn't look like California was all that red.
I think it did.
Oh.
Yeah, California is doing very, very poorly.
I know we did poorly the first time around.
Right. Yeah. The pride of living in LA, you know?
Mm.
Gee, I want to get out of here. I can't tell you how depressed I am from all this, you know? It's like now it's like a replay of last year, you know? And they're saying it's mostly because of the Delta variant, but also because of unmasked unvaccinated people.
They just Pfizer just released something saying that they might roll out a third shot for the vaccine because they say the third one will help protect you against
really?
The variant. Yeah.
Mm. Okay, I'll take it. I'll take 10. I don't care, man. I just
now that you've broken the seal, you're all about it.
Yeah, I'm all about it now. I want to feel a little more confident. You know, I feel like it's a Russian roulette out there, you know?
It is. It is.
You know? And people are ended up sick. I guess there's 2,000 new cases. Since July 12 or something, you know? So it's getting pretty bad, you know? And I haven't gotten used to wearing the masks yet. But, you know, it is what it is, you know?
Yeah, the masks honestly never really bothered me that much. But yesterday I had to wear one most of the day. I was touring apartments with somebody and it was so hot the whole day out in Pasadena. And I just, every time I was outside, I was like, I got to take this thing down.
Yeah.
You know, I never really felt, I mean, I worked COVID gigs on film sets and I was outside all day long with N95s on before and a shield and I was fine.
Right.
But I think since it's been lenient, I have to get used to it again.
Yeah.
I'd almost rather have to wear it all the time than some of the time.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but you know. So, the unvaccinated and partially vaccinated are suffering greater illness, they're saying, which makes sense, you know.
Yeah.
They're saying almost everyone hospitalized in LA County is unvaccinated. But, Yeah, there's still ones that, that's why we're not out of the woods yet, even when you're vaccinated, you know?
Yeah.
But hopefully it's not as severe when you, if you get it, you know? And I mean, I've seen at least a couple people on Facebook in the hospital, and these are people that are saying, I was against the vaccine, and now I wish I had taken it, you know?
Yeah.
These two people. And apparently, yeah, it's not fun to have this.
No, but I think it's less fun to be intubated.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So a lot of the people who are unvaccinated were saying no to the vaccine. They're saying yes to ventilators and all of that stuff. So I think, like, again, I've said this before, like, I support your choice not to be vaccinated. I really do, because I was on the fence about it as well. I don't like putting things in my body that I don't know what they're going to do. So I fully sympathize with that. But for my own reasons, I did do it. But I do think that, you know, if it can prevent your hospitalization and death and having to be on a ventilator, I'm willing to take that, to right. take that chance.
Plus, it's never going to end. I mean, if we don't conquer this thing,
yeah.
you know, they're saying that you need to reach like 75% vaccinated to sort of like fight it.
You know, what percent are
where
we now?
We can win 60 something.
Okay.
So we're not close. Yeah. I don't know, man. It's pretty lousy. And I don't mean to bring in everybody down, but I mean, I was ready to already start a new life, you know, when they opened up here.
Yeah. The thing is, we don't know.
And that's the thing. I mean, once we conquer this variant, then we're going to get another one. I don't know, man. I don't know.
We just have to accept that the future's unknown.
Right.
It's literally unknown. And it almost feels like it's right in line with a timeline, so to speak. Like, with the way the world has just changed so much in the past few years, like, I feel like this almost seems like it was right on schedule,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I feel like the next thing is just right on schedule, like between, you know, just the, you know, what we've been talking about, things that we're so used to, like everything's very political and, you know, there's like school shootings and we're used to mass shootings and, you know, anything can happen, like absolutely anything can happen. And I've kind of always lived a life that way too, you know, like from just my upbringing and then living in New York, like every day, literally anything could happen.
Right.
I've seen so much of it. And so I just think from here on out, like I don't know that things are uphill and I don't know that they're downhill. I just know that like I have to put myself for my own health, mental health in a place of just accepting that I have no idea.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
And that you can't change anything, you know?
Exactly.
That's hard to accept.
I have no control.
Right. But it seems like, you know, like lawlessness now, you know, with all this shit. We were talking about choplifters and...
yeah, that's a thing now too.
Yeah, it's like who would ever thought it would happen that people would just walk in with bags and start emptying out shelves and the employees can only look at them and watch this and not be able to do anything.
That's crazy.
You know?
How does that apply to people in their homes?
What do you mean?
Like, if you can rob a store, can right. you rob people?
Right. Yeah. Because, and that's what it is. It's not stealing. It's a robbery. You know? I mean, you're going in, you're taking stuff, and you're leaving in front of people. You know? And
yeah.
and you're not afraid. And then they go and they sell this stuff. They're saying, it's not like they're taking things like they just need certain things, and that's why they go in. They're picking the place dry, they're saying, you know, 4 women in San Francisco.
Right. It's not like they're pocketing a pack of gum.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody asked the employees if they're going to call the police and they just shrugged because the police is not going to do anything. So that's what I'm saying. And now the governor is putting a task force together to fight this after even... Now, granted, these are not prisoners, but they should be.
Mm.
They should be, you know? You don't do this shit. I mean, stores are closing their doors or limiting their hours. Why should it be like that? I mean, in America, you don't feel safe to run a business? What is this, you know? And
I don't think Americans have felt safe for a long time.
Yeah, but this is ridiculous because now it's hitting home, you know? And the police can't do anything about it. That's the scary thing, you know?
I'm still more worried about what are the rules around robbing people in people's homes.
Yeah.
You know? Like, if they take away, you know, the laws against that, then, you know, if somebody has a firearm and you have the right to protect your property and you shoot someone on your property, is that right going to be taken away? At that point, we're just going to be getting robbed here and there and everywhere, and people's homes are going to be broken into, and it's going to be even more of a disaster.
Right.
But it could be coming.
Well, that's what happens when we let the government get involved in too many things, you know? They start, like, fucking up, and the more you give the government, the less freedom you have, because they decide for you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Yeah. So, and you know, and all that is reflected in the politics. I can't even stand to read this shit anymore, you know? It's too much. Like, for example, they're saying that, I don't know if you remember Senator Barbara Boxer from California.
Mm-mm.
She was on a few years ago, and she's a Democrat, too.
Mm.
She got robbed outside, in her neighborhood in Oakland, and she was robbed by two thieves, took her phone, and that's it. But the thing is that imagine how scary that is.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're saying is almost no network covered this stuff, you know? And, you know, probably because they're trying to, they don't want to expose how terrible cities are, because many cities are run by liberals who, to whom the mainstream media is catering to, you know? And that's what I don't understand. I mean, something like this, wouldn't you report it? You know, wouldn't you have it like a breaking news type of thing?
I would think especially something like that would be breaking news.
Yeah, former senator, you know? And so, and she's a Democrat and she lives in a Democrat city. So, yeah. So that's why, you know, I can't...
It's not just the Democrats, though. It's everybody. Everybody's part of the problem. You can't just blame the Democrats.
Well, like, I'm not. But what I'm saying is I think they're doing some ridiculous things.
I think everybody's doing ridiculous things. And that's the problem.
Okay. But, you know, the media is the ones that we get our news from. You know, we try to trust them. And you can't trust them because they're one-sided.
No, you can't trust them.
They're one-sided, you know. In a few minutes, in a couple minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in. I forgot to mention that. She's pretty interesting. She's pretty interesting, you know, unusual, eccentric. We'll see. So we'll talk to her a little bit.
Yeah, I'm excited to have her on.
See what's going on. Yeah. So how are things with you? Are you dealing okay?
Am I dealing okay?
Yeah.
I had really intense sleep paralysis last night. Do you know what sleep paralysis is?
When you're dreaming that you want to wake up and you can't, or you want to move?
It's kind of like a dream, but it would be like if I'm sitting in this chair right now, fell asleep, woke up in this chair, didn't really wake up, but in my dream, it's as if I didn't even go to sleep at all. And there's like this weird like energy that kind of like hovers over you that feels like it's like... It's been described as like demonic or just some kind of like really intense threatening energy that's hovering over you that feels like it's about to hurt you. And there's like documentaries on this. There's one on, I think it's still on Netflix. It's called The Nightmare. It's really interesting.
Wow.
But it,
let's go back
is
to that.
She calling in? Yeah,
she's calling in. So let's go back to that. Keep that thought in mind because
it's
very interesting, you know?
Yeah.
Good morning. You're on the air. Hello. I don't know why this is taking a... Hold on a second.
All right.
Let's try again. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Hi. How are you?
Hi.
Hey, welcome.
How are you? Good afternoon. Good morning.
good morning to you, too. So you are L.A. Love the Boss, right? That's your name?
Yes.
Okay. That's an unusual name. What does it mean, really? I mean, I understand Love the Boss and L.A. and stuff, but you put it all in one word. Tell us where this came from.
Yes, well, L.A., so my first name is Lauren Elise, so, you know, hence the name L.A. Love, I have a passion for what I do when it comes to this music entertainment, so I combine L.A. and L.A. Love.
Uh-huh.
And then The Boss, I've always been very feisty. Growing up, I was always a little boss. So I built on my own self-success. I put that together, and you got L.A. Love, The Boss.
Oh, wow.
I love that.
It's pretty interesting. Did you grow up in L.A.?
No, I did not, actually. I'm born and raised in Maryland. I'm an East Coast girl.
Yes, uh-huh. Represent.
Very nice.
Yes, and indeed.
So, and so are you still there, or did you move somewhere else?
Yeah, I'm still actually in the DMV, but I travel a lot. I'm hardly ever home. I'm maybe home a week out of the month now, so I'm everywhere.
Oh, wow. So you travel, you have a show? Do you have a live show?
Yes. Well, I travel a lot, you know, with my music, movies, a lot of things that I do regarding with my brand. I move around a whole lot.
So. Oh, wow.
Keeps me very busy.
Yeah, sounds like it. So you're a singer and a dancer, but so you're an actress as well?
Yeah, so I'm movies? A rapper. I sing. Uh-huh. I also act. I've acted in my first movie was The After Party that trended number one on Netflix for about the whole summer. Uh-huh. My first movie in 2018. Then I did The Bad Girls 1 in 2019, came out in 2020. And then we just shot The Bad Girls Part 2 just a month ago.
Oh, awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah, so with acting, it kind of fell into my lap. Acting is honestly nothing I ever pursued. But, you know, with entertainment comes with platforms and it comes with the territory.
That's
true. Advantage of all opportunities.
Yeah.
And ever since 2018, I've been in, you know, number one trending movies.
Yeah. Yeah, very cool. You released your new... or a debut single, right, in May, called Monkey.
Yes. Yes.
And tell us a little bit about the song.
So, Monkey is out right now. The video just released 3.5 weeks ago, produced by the Box Bangers. Shout out to the Box Bangers, D-Zone 88. We had fun. I recorded it actually in L.A. A lot of my music with my new project coming out soon has been done in L.A. But with Monkey, I just wanted to represent femininity at its highest power. I mean, the power of the P is very powerful, let's just say that. And being a woman and embracing your sexy and being confident, but still being a boss and getting the business done is really important for me to convey. So I came up with Monkey.
Yeah. So you wrote the song yourself?
Yes, I did. I wrote the song about 20 minutes, actually. I freestyled the hook as soon as I got the beat. I was so inspired by it. I'm like, they brought it. It's funny because I was in my hotel in L.A. and I was working on some other tracks. And then my producer said, I got something else for you. I'm like, okay. And I heard it right away, freestyled the hook. And then 20 minutes, the song was done.
Wow.
Wow. I love it when it hits you like that, right?
Yeah. Who's your
producer? Yes, because you don't have to think about it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Who's your producer? Let's give them a shout out.
Shout out to the Box Bangers. They are my executive producers, Diesel and 88 Fingers.
Oh, wow. Yeah, 88 Fingers. I see that. Yeah, pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the song is... I suggest I have it queued up here. Maybe we'll play a minute or two of it so we can get an idea of what the song is like. You want to do that?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so stay on and let's play that. This is Monkey, and you guys can see the video.
Let's
on.
Do it.
Yeah, people can see.
Yes, Monkey out right now. The video's out on YouTube. It's available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and all streaming platforms.
Right. Yeah, it's a pretty cool video, you know? People don't get that creative with videos anymore, you know, but this one's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So let's just listen to the song for a minute or two.
Okay, let's do it. Face between the sushi, facing me like a bun. Boy, you know what you want. This monkey
upper echelon, serve you like a runaway. Monkey in the middle, got my monkeys in the middle. I'm a fisher, it's not little.
Cool.
Wow.
Did you get disconnected there?
Yes, I got disconnected, but I'm back.
Okay, cool.
Great.
Real quick.
Yeah.
That was great. I love that.
You love the song?
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, it's pretty
Thank
cool.
You.
It's got a good,
Thank you so much.
Good vibe to it, you know. And so who came up with the concept for the video? Was that you as well?
So actually, the video was a collaborative effort. Myself, my manager. He's our manager. Steve, also my PR, my publicist, had input on that. And then also the creative director, Carla Escobar. We all had a collaborative effort.
Wow.
So on what we wanted the visual to be like.
Yeah. So you've surrounded yourself with talented people, which is a good idea if you want to succeed, you know.
I'd love to really know how women empowerment inspires you and how you try and inspire others with women empowerment.
Well, for me, women empowerment is really important because as women, we have to take ownership on who we are and what we want to be. Everybody has their own individual path, and everyone's journey is not the same on how to get to wherever you want to be. So with owning the womanhood and the women empowerment, it's all about inspiring other women through the things that you do, even your normal activity, your normal things that you do. Because one thing as women we can all relate to on is that we go through a lot of the same things. So us supporting one another, us uplifting one another is really, for me, essential to put that message out there. And also with my brand, Get Your Natural. It's okay to be natural, embrace your natural. There's nothing wrong with body modifications. There's nothing wrong with doing whatever it is that makes you happy. But also love what you do. And anything you do, I always recommend and I always push the message, do it with a purpose and do it because you want to do it. Not because of society standards, not because of what society wants you to do. Because
for sure.
A lot of that can really, mess with you as a person. With the confidence. And we don't want that. We want to always persevere through things, all trials and tribulations, and we want to keep striving to be a better version of us.
It's hard to shake off the, It's hard to shake off that societal brainwash that we kind of are all brushed with our whole lives. Yeah. So I want to know, was there like a moment in your life or with another woman that, you know, like what kind of women have inspired you in your life? Or was there a moment where a woman was really kind and really uplifting to you during a time when you weren't feeling that way about yourself that kind of helped inspire these thoughts?
Yeah, I'll tell you a pivotal moment for me was, adolescence. All young girls go through what we call that stage where we're figuring it out, where we're feeling pressured from magazines, we're feeling the pressure of what we see on television, of what we're brainwashed to think and feel, correct? So Momager, which is Mom, shout out to Momager, really installed a lot of values into me growing up. And she sat down with me, actually, when I was a teenager, about 12, and she made to really guide me and put me in the right direction of confidence and just speaking with me. Because sometimes a person that is in your life and they're just talking with you or helping you get through certain things is really important to your growth as a young woman, as a woman. So with that being said, Momager definitely was a big factor in building my confidence, helping me seeing different perspectives of certain things and molding me with the morals and the values.
Great. Love that.
When did you decide to start your career in entertainment? I mean, you weren't always doing this, right? You probably were doing something else.
I was
else
always
before.
Doing entertainment, sweetie.
Oh, really?
Since I was born.
Wow.
Yeah. So Momager, she had her own nail kind of cosmetic business, Elisa's Nail Cosmetics. I would perform for her clients when I was about 5 years old, 5 and 6 years old. I would perform. And then when I was nine, I started writing poetry. After that, I converted my poems into songs around 12. I recorded my first record between the age of 12, 13. I say 13. I still remember the record, Swag Is So Mean. It's up on MySpace, so check it out. I've always done entertainment. I've always wanted to do entertainment. Wow. And of course, be explosive with my brand as well. And with your music and entertainment comes leverage for your brand as well.
Right.
As acting and fitness and everything else that I do.
Yeah. Are you working on new songs now?
Yes. Oh, my God. Every day. I just wrote 8 songs in the last, 4 or 5 days. So.
Oh, wow.
Oh, great.
That's pretty productive.
Yes, I'm always working. I recorded about, I know, at least 30, 40 records in the pandemic. What I did, it was a chance for me to reset. It was a chance for me to tap into myself deeper as an artist. It was a moment for me to think about some of the things that I really wanted to get off my chest and express in a way that it can relate to my peers and my people. So
yeah. I love hearing about people.
I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun too creating these records.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like
I love hearing people using the pandemic as a productive time.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh my God. Yes. Because you can look at it 2 ways. It was a whirlwind because none of us expected it. It happened out of nowhere, it seems like, but it was also a chance for us to reset, to get stronger with our beliefs, get stronger with our grind, get more organized, get more productive, progressive. I've always been a very productive person, but with this pandemic, it really allowed me to reset and a couple of things that maybe weren't clicking in my brain at that time prior to the pandemic started definitely clicking in, like, whoa, 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 click, click, click everywhere.
Right. You're talking about the pandemic in the past tense, whereas we're not out of the woods yet, you know?
That is true.
Look, we're not out of the woods, but we're still outside. You know, a lot of us are outside, but we got to still be, cautious and do a lot of preventive measures to take care of ourselves and our health, because health is wealth. So.
It's good that you, took the time and actually turned it into something positive and, you know, worked on your and new music and everything. Are you a dancer as well? I mean, I see in your video you do some dancing, so.
Well, let me tell you about that. I dance. I do a little couple moves or two. I'm going to tell you, I did not grow up. I grew up dancing, but I didn't grow up thinking or pushing for the dancing aspect of things. I love, of course, dancing. I love the art behind music, because with music, it makes you feel something. And music is rhythm. So it does allow you to dance and all that. But with this one, my choreographer, shout out to my choreographer with this one, we pushed the limit. Let's just say that I was like, I want to dance. I need to dance. Come on, we gotta dance. So stepped out of my comfort a little bit, but I love it. I love dancing as well.
Awesome. Well, LA Love the Boss. How can people find you on social media, website? Give us the details.
Yes. So you guys can follow me on my new Instagram. Right now, my 3.6 million is disabled right now, but it's coming back. But until then, follow my backup page at I am LA Love the Ball. That's LALOVETHEBOSS on Instagram. Follow my Snapchat at Get Your Natural. That's Get Your Natural, exactly. It's spelled how I said it, Get Your Natural. And my Twitter, my new Twitter, _ LA Love the Ball. And YouTube is LA Love the Ball as well. And Stream Monkey out right now on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, everywhere. Check out the videos out on YouTube. And we're playing a lot of monkey games all summer 2021.
Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. You're a fascinating artist.
Thank you.
And you're very talented, and it shows, you know. And it's also obvious you've been doing this for a long time, and more power to you. You know, much
thank we you wish so you much. Could. I appreciate you guys for taking the time out to have me on the show, and hope everyone has a blessed day. Stay blessed, stay COVID free. Health as well is very important. One thing you can't do is pay for your health. You can accumulate a lot of wealth, but you can't pay for good health.
That's true. That's why it's the most important thing.
Thank you so much.
LA Love the Boss, thank you so much for calling, and we wish you continued success.
Thank you. You guys have a good day.
You too.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, you know, I mean, sometimes I envy people that started this as kids doing this, and then they actually pursued the music career, you know?
Yeah.
Because I didn't.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to have a music career, and I didn't.
Do you sing?
So, I do. I sing very well.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know now, you know?
Oh,
I
mean, sing something for us.
Not right now. I could play something on YouTube that I recorded. It's a Hebrew song.
Yeah, do it.
You want to hear it?
Yes, I want to hear it. Let's hear it. Oh, my gosh. That's Sam's funny. Blushing.
I've played it a couple times. I'm not blushing.
You are blushing.
I am?
Yeah. Your
Why would I blush?
I don't know. Your cheeks are a little pink.
I don't know about that, but we'll see, you know. So, hold on. Why is it looking there? Okay. So, I liked singing a lot. I used to write songs when I was a kid. I picked up a guitar when I was maybe 13 years old or something.
Mm.
This was the 60s. So my parents decided to give me an accordion to learn how to play a fucking accordion. I mean, who plays that, right? But at the time, it was like, you know.
The mariachi bands in Washington
Heights. Yeah, Dance and Hora and all that stuff, you know, in Israel. It was old times, okay?
Did you learn how to play it?
Yeah, it was bigger than I was, you know. It's a pretty big instrument. So I learned it, but I knew it wasn't me, you know. So then I went to an audition once. Yeah, you should see pictures of me.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so you went to an audition once.
Bigger than I was. I went to an audition, and I saw people, sitting outside in the hallways playing with the guitar and singing. I thought, what the hell? You know, this is the best way to sing with a guitar, you know? And like I said, I was still young, so to me it was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I got an acoustic guitar, and I started playing that. I learned how to play it, and then I wanted an electric guitar. So that took a while to convince my parents. But when my dad finally got me one, he got me like the best there was. Like Gibson, you know?
Yeah.
And I still have it. You know, I give it to my kids. But it's worth a lot now. It's from 1973, you know?
Oh, yeah. My aunt had like a 35-year-old Gibson acoustic handmade.
And really?
Yeah, that thing was worth. Yeah. It was worth something for sure.
Yeah, that's true.
Even though I wanted to keep it, no one let me keep it.
Yeah, huh? Yeah. I know. So, and then I started bands and stuff, you know, when I was 14, 15 years old and all that stuff and writing songs as well, you know. So this song I'm going to play you for you is, it's called A Simple Story. It's in Hebrew, so some people maybe will be alienated by this. I hope not. But you can tell, you can tell by the music and it's kind of a tragic song. It's about this girl that fell in love with this guy, and then he wasn't as in love with her as she was, and then she, like, you know, was desperate and killed herself. You know?
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I don't know where the fuck that came from. You know, it never happened to me. Nothing even close to that ever happened to me. But when you write songs, sometimes you just put the words down. You know, it doesn't really matter. To me, the melody always is more important than the lyrics. But still, I mean, the lyrics are pretty cool. You know,
when lyrics are important
when
for
you
sure.
understand the song. And but the nice thing with this one is it was the first time I was able to record one of my songs with instruments and a band and everything. You know, so actually, this was recorded with only one guy. He's got like a whole studio in his house, and he plays all the instruments. So.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, so that's a big introduction to this. Let me play this. And you'll see it's kind of a 70s style. I think I wrote it when I was 18, 19.
Sipur pashut shel ahava Hetzit libi ki le'ava Ki lo haya hogen Alma יפה הייתה אהבה נתנה לו כל אשר יכלה אך הוא דחה אותה הוא לא ידע שהוא היה כל עולמה הותיר אותה שם גלמודה כי בשבילו היא עוד ילדה שלא ידע איזה
לספק את יצרה שבשבילו תיתן היא עולם ומלואו עזב אותה שבר ליבה ולא חזר
It's a jam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
נסיך חלומותיה בנתה סביבו את העתידה נתנה לו כל אשר יכלה היא אהבה כל רגע שבלתה אמו אך היא הייתה תמימה הותיר אותה שם גם מודע כי בשבילו היא עוד ילדה שלא ידע איך לספק את יצרה
Hebrew's not that strange to you, huh? You've heard Hebrew before.
I've heard it, but it still blows my mind every time I hear it.
Really?
Yeah.
Listen to the bridge.
We got the air drums going in the studio. Yeah.
I can't believe how high I was singing. I don't think I can sing like this anymore.
I'm sure. I'm sure you could. With a little practice, yeah. It's all about diaphragm.
Yeah.
It really is.
I never learned how to sing professionally, you know? So this is just the way I sing. But you're right.
Honestly, it would probably help your sleep apnea a little if you learned, though, because you learn different breathing techniques that,
yeah.
That I mean... Asthma doctors teach very similar techniques to help you breathe better.
That's true. Yeah. I don't know. But, you know, that's the thing. I put down the car. I never picked it up again. The past 15 years, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, so no, even longer than that. I mean, by the time my kids were born, I wasn't playing anymore. Or was I still playing? No, I was still playing. So I would say maybe 20 years. Which is a long time, you know, so I kind of lost interest, you know, growing up, being, you know, being having to deal with life and everything, you know.
Yeah, totally.
But sometimes I'd like to get back to it, you know. I'm very rusty now when I pick up a guitar, so I just kind of give up.
It'll come back to you, though. You know?
But, yeah, so, but, you know, I mean, the reason I know that I don't sing as well is because when I go to karaoke, I just can't get as high as I used to, you know?
You just have to relearn how to support.
Yeah, or play lower songs, you know, like not as high. The thing is what I noticed is when, like, Israeli songs are not that high, you know? Mm. I mean, some are. But yeah. If you noticed, I didn't have to strain my voice or anything. But rock songs are very high.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Especially like rock bands and stuff, you know?
Like hair metal era.
Right. Yeah, yeah. That stuff, you know? I mean, it's like Led Zeppelin and all that. I mean, they sing so high. It's unbelievable. You can't even sing like that.
Yeah.
So Steven Tyler, you know?
It's all about diaphragm support, I'll tell you.
Really?
Really. Really, really, really. Truly.
So you're saying anybody can sing that high?
I don't know about anybody, but I think if someone's got the chops and they learn how to breathe properly, it accesses a completely different chamber of voice than you can ever imagine.
Hmm.
I studied voice for 15 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So I have to believe you.
But it's true, though. Like, when I first started singing, like, you do strain when you hit those high notes, but when you learn how to support,
right,
you don't feel the strain at all. There's no strain. It's easy breezy.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
You know?
Maybe I should start taking lessons or something.
Yeah, take some
huh?
lessons. It'll be fun. It's a yeah. fun little...
It is. I love to sing. You yeah. know, I sing all the time. Hmm.
It's great. Yeah. You should do it.
But yeah, so that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, I should have pursued a career. I didn't. But who knows what would have happened, you know.
Moral of the story is don't give up.
Yeah, exactly, you know. But what can you do? You know, you can't regret things in your life because it's going to make you crazy.
That's true.
Yeah, you know, so.
That is true.
So I just sing to myself, and that's good enough for me.
Yeah, I rock out in the car
yeah,
a lot.
I know.
You know.
I used to be like the best one in karaoke, you know, like when everybody's screwing up, I take it seriously, you know.
Mm.
And sing some pretty high songs. But
oh, my gosh.
But maybe now I should sing songs that are more like my range, you know?
You should go karaokeing with my New York friends. All of them are like either on Broadway or trying to be on Broadway.
Really?
So every single time we go, everyone, every New Yorker who goes to karaoke is the most serious performer on the planet.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it's where people go to perform when they haven't like booked a gig or they haven't been auditioning and they really want to perform. Like, every single one is like, it's the most intense.
Yeah.
It's so intense. It's never light and fun. I'm just like, I'm not doing this.
I know, but the people that do it for fun usually don't know how to sing. Man. Mm-hmm. You know? That's why karaoke sometimes is hard to take. It's hard to sit there and listen to all these people
being like,
trying to sing, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, in order to sing a song good, you have to have sung it a million times.
Yeah.
You know, you have to really know the song.
Right.
So you know where in your throat to hit the note, you know?
Well, that's never where you should be hitting the note.
Really? Not in your throat?
Never.
See, that's where I sing from.
Yeah.
So from your diaphragm, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's diaphragm and your sinuses.
Yeah.
You always want to sing from behind your nose. It should never be in your throat.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, there's certain cultures that do things called throat singing. I think it's a Native American culture does throat singing, but it's a totally different thing. It's not like melodic, like a typical song you would hear.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
How long does it take to really learn to sing like that?
Honestly, it happens when it happens. You either like feel the click, like you just, you'll know. It's about figuring out. It's like if you ever exercise, sometimes you don't always feel it in the area you're supposed to feel it. But as the muscles develop, you start to feel it more in that area and you can get like deeper into that area and get more of the muscles in that area. It's very similar. Like once you feel it once, you're like, oh, that's where it's supposed to be.
Mm. Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah. You should never be singing from your throat. That's how you damage your vocal cords.
That's how you damage it. I know.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, so much about singing.
Yeah.
A couple of other things.
Oh, yeah. Did you hear about Paul Odenkirk?
Who's that?
He's the guy on Better Call Saul. He collapsed on set.
Really?
Yeah, he's a great actor.
Yeah.
He collapsed on set and was rushed to the hospital. There's no other news on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Nobody knows why or anything?
No, not yet.
Well, when did that happen?
I think yesterday.
Jeez. What's the show called?
Better Call Saul. Really? He was on Breaking Bad.
Oh, okay.
I never saw that either. Oh, it's great. You would actually like Breaking Bad.
I started watching. I saw the first one. I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool with the RV and his underwear and all that stuff. But
the RV and his underwear.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I remember from it. Yeah, I'm sure it's great. I mean, it did very well.
Yeah.
Did very well. But I don't know. I don't get into too many series, you know, so I don't know what's good, what's bad. I don't want to be invested in it. But I just subscribed to Paramount, to their channel.
Paramount Plus.
Yeah, whatever it's called.
Mm.
And so I started watching Infinite with Mark Wahlberg.
How's that?
It looks pretty good so far. Mm. Kind of hard to understand, but those movies usually are.
Mm.
But I just started watching it. Then they have the limited series, The Stand, Stephen King's.
Mm.
They've made a million movies and series out of it, but I'm curious to see this one.
Mm.
Because it's my favorite book of all times.
Okay.
And you know that the story starts with people getting sick from a virus. And
that's right up your alley.
Yeah. And I mean, most of the people die.
Yeah.
In the United States. You know?
Should watch Outbreak, the movie we were talking about yesterday.
Yeah.
You would like it then.
Why would I want to? I mean, I have it in real life here and I hate
it. It's true.
You know, but so it's a story of a few people that remained alive and then they sort of like find each other. Everybody starts traveling around the country, but you can't really do it with cars because cars are like stranded all over on the roads and everything, you know.
Yeah.
And so people use motorcycles, they walk, bicycles, whatever. So they meet each other, and then before you know it, there's like a stand between the evil and the good people.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah. One of those.
Yeah. Sounds like Stephen King, right?
Yeah.
But it was a good book. I read it in the 70s. Like,
I feel like that's the premises of so many movies.
Right.
No, that's not a ding on Steve King.
No,
but
that's true. But he was the first one to actually write. Well, I don't know. But I don't know if he was the first one because I don't know really books like that were written before.
Yeah.
But since then, yes. I mean, a lot of movies, a lot of books about the end of the world, you know, mm-hmm. like a dystopia type of thing.
Sure.
You know? So many of them have zombies in them and, mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff, which I'm not a zombie fan. You know?
I always end up having zombie dreams. It's the only thing really? That I end up having horror dreams about.
Really?
Yeah.
Zombie
I don't
dreams.
Know what it is, man. They just really freak me out.
Do you see movies with zombies?
I used to watch a lot of them.
Yeah.
But
now you don't anymore.
Yeah. I don't know. There's just something about them.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I know. Like The Walking Dead and stuff, right?
Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah.
It's so much anxiety.
It is.
It's so much anxiety. No. I have plenty of that already.
The funny thing is when I was young, I used to love horror books and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But now I'm not into it. I don't know.
Yeah. So last night, the dream I had was like, okay, so there's a thing called sleep paralysis, right? And it's when you fall asleep. You kind of don't realize you fell asleep. You should watch the documentary on it. It's actually incredible. A friend of mine who years ago I was telling about my sleep paralysis, he was like, I've had that too. Watch this documentary. You'll feel so validated. And I did. And I did feel validated. And so you feel like there's just this like energy and there's this like kind of weird sound for me that always happens too. It's like it's almost like an electrical sound that happens when you just feel this like entity or energy like hovering over you. Like it almost feels like they're trying to strangle you. Like you're laying down, you're being strangled, but you don't see anyone there. Or you kind of like feel this energy coming in the room towards you and you like can't move. And there's been times like I remember the first time I had sleep paralysis, I had this guy sleep over that I had a crush on and my friend slept over too. And in my dream, I got up from the bed and I walked out into the hallway and laid down and I felt this thing hovering over me. And I was literally like screaming so hard, but you like can't like at all. Right. It's just this weird like groan that comes out. And finally, like I was like trying to say, help me or like, please wake me up. And the only sound that was coming out was like out of my actual mouth. And the dude like nudged me. He was like, yo, are you okay? And I woke up and I was like, thank you so much for waking me up. That was the last time he hung out with me. But last night I had the weirdest. I haven't had sleep paralysis in a while. I had it consistently for a couple of years, actually. But last night I had this really weird dream because I went to bed at 8:30 last night. I just fell asleep and then I woke up at 3 a.m. And then I went back to sleep maybe like 20 minutes later. And as soon as I fell asleep, I like dreamed that I didn't go to sleep at all. And suddenly there was like a person next to me in my bed, like a total stranger. And I just like, I remember all the details of the dream. It was like so vivid and so clear. Yeah. And like this guy that was like next to me who I didn't know was a total stranger, like assaulted me. And then like, I like pretended to go along with it and then went into my kitchen. I was like, I just need a glass of water. And in my head, like this was completely real. And then like my roommate got up and got a glass of water and I was like, oh, thank God. And then I was like, help me. And then that's when we realized like the lock on our front door was broken and all these people were trying to break in. And like it was basically like a complete apocalyptic chaos outside of my apartment door.
Wow.
It was wild.
Yeah, it does sound pretty wild.
Yeah.
Wild imagination, huh?
Yeah. I've always had really wild dreams, though.
Wow.
You should watch that documentary. It's great,
I will. What's it called?
The Nightmare.
The Nightmare?
The Nightmare, yeah.
Okay, I'll watch it. Like, I don't have enough nightmares in my life. No, I'm actually blessed. I'm really happy. And, you know, she talked about health and everything. And I'm so grateful every day that I get up healthy, you know?
Yeah.
That's the most important thing. I've been having fears of being in the hospital, and I don't like that at all.
Yeah, no.
I still think about my stroke and how I survived it miraculously.
Yeah, it was a miraculous situation.
It really was. I mean, the doctors even said that, you know. So, yeah.
It wasn't your time.
That scares me. No, it wasn't. Thank God. All right. Well, Jen, that's it for today.
Nice. We had a nice morbid show.
Yeah. We sometimes do that.
I know. I kind of like it, though.
Yeah, I guess we cover all areas of life. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.